Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
The snap, and he keeps it himself. Jackson running right. Now he pitches it into the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. It is Nick Boyle who catches the touchdown pass from Lamar Jackson, who sort of shovel passed it to him in the end zone. Snap. And he's running to his right. Lamar Jackson fires across the grain into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Baltimore. He found Willie Snead.
You know, watching film, we knew that was going to be the type of game that was going to be played. We weren't wrong. It was big boy football out there today. And, you know, we felt like we did fairly well for the most part, except for that play and a few others kind of in the red zone that we felt like we could have got, you know, we definitely want back.
I mean, yeah, you've seen him throughout the whole year. He's elusive. We just got to, I mean, we're fast as well, but you got to make the play when you're in the position.
Where we are as an organization, the way we've built this thing and the progress we've made, our mindset is to go win the football game and to win every game. Now, we respect every opponent, but maybe the first year, but where we are now in the mindset of our organization is we expect to win, especially we expect to win these games late in the year, and great environment out there. It's been a long time since that type of environment's been around here, and I'm happy for the fans, but I'm also disappointed that we lost the football game. There's no moral victories, but we have to learn from it, continue to grow as a football team and as an organization.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
We had all the M's right there. We started with John Murphy on the call from the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Then we had Micah Hyde after the game. Matt Milano and Sean McDermott as well. Post-game, Bills lose 24-17 to the Baltimore Ravens. Welcome in. Sal Capaccio here. It's the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550, all part of a Buffalo Football Monday. So let me set everything up for you today. I'll be here until noon as usual. We will hand it off to John Murphy and Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. Down from One Bills Drive, noon till 3, we'll have Shopin the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. They will have Micah Hyde on at his normal 4 p.m. segment. I'll be down at the stadium. We'll hear from Sean McDermott, Brian Daboll, Leslie Frazier as well. So all of your Football Monday elements coming your way right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 today after the Bills lose 24-17 to the Baltimore Ravens. Yesterday, Bills fall now to 9-4. Still in a good spot. Still in a very good spot. I'll get to that in a minute as far as the playoffs are concerned. And, you know, I think that's where the shift has to focus now. We have to focus our attention on next week and the playoff game, playoff atmosphere that, you know, they've created here and they have a chance at. We'll get into all that. But, of course, this is a reaction show. So that's what we do. We take calls. We react to what happened yesterday. As usual, I want to hear from you today. I am going to take calls, and I know a lot of you have a lot of things to say. I think a lot of you have all the answers, right? You got all the answers from yesterday. Should have done this, should have done that. I know you're frustrated, and you have good reason to be for yesterday. I don't think people should be totally discouraged, though, by yesterday. I think it was a lot of encouraging things, but certainly the offense was something to be a little bit more frustrated and, if you will, discouraged by in many aspects. The defense, very encouraging, and you know that was a good football team they played in the Baltimore Ravens. So I take calls here for 2 hours. That's how I do it. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. No guests, no interviews, just calls from you for 2 hours. Later on in the program, I'll have my sit up and stand down and got to get to my buddy. Who's my buddy this week? Hey, buddy. So we'll do all of that. I don't have guests or interviews. I do have a guest. I have two guests in the studio today. They're here with me, Nick and Adam, and they were kind enough to contribute to the fundraiser that I was a part of for one of our sponsors here on the Extra Point Show, Northland Workforce Training Center. You hear me do spots for them on WGR, and they've done some great things in the city of Buffalo, and they're really creating opportunities for people of all different ages in the skilled trades. So it was really cool. About a month ago, there was a fundraiser there. I was there, and one of the silent auction items at the fundraiser was to spend the Extra Point Show in studio with Sal Capaccio. And when they approached me with this, I said, don't do that. Nobody's going to bid on that. Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to spend 2 hours with me in a studio watching the show. Well, guess
these
what?
These two guys did.
Yeah, they did. And you know what? There were other people that bid too, I think. So I appreciate these guys. They bid. They brought us donuts in. They're here. They're watching the show. I wish we could have given them a show after a win, Brayton, but sometimes after a loss, the shows can be a little bit better, right? With the callers and some of the thoughts and things like that. Anyway.
Maybe not better, just more entertaining.
I guess you're right. You're right.
Entertainment value.
That's right. So you get to watch what Brayton's doing. I told him, I said, go bother Brayton if you want. No, he doesn't mind. Go on in there. If you guys want to see what he does, how he sets things up, you want to stay in here, that's fine. So Nick and Adam, thank you very much for what you've done, and I really appreciate you guys doing that. And I know the Northland Workforce Training Center does as well. So they're here today watching the show while you listen to it and you give a call. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. On a day where, really, you know, I mean, Sean McDermott, you heard it in the clip there just a little while ago. The atmosphere was amazing yesterday. When I got to the stadium, and I get down there, I get there very early. I'm there at 8 o'clock in the morning, but when the gates opened and people came down by the field kind of to watch warm-ups at 11:30, I'm done with all my pregame duties right around noon, so I get to walk around. I get to experience that. Boy, it was electric already. I mean, there was a guy, literally, Brayton, there was a guy at the wall, you know, in the corner. The team was warming up. Like, they're just going through warm-ups, and he's going, defense! Defense! And I mean, who am I to break this guy's mojo, man? But I wanted to go up to him and go, dude, you know they're not actually playing right now, right? Like, they're just warming up. But he was ready. He's warming up his vocal cords,
Sal.
He was. And one of the security guys looks at me and goes, how do you talk like that for three straight hours? He said, I could do that for 10 minutes and I wouldn't be able to talk at work tomorrow. I said, I know. I'm in radio. I understand that. But this guy was, he was full throttle, ready to go, defense. And I'm like, They're just kind of like going through warm-ups. Now, it was some defensive players that he was watching, so I get that. But that was just kind of a microcosm. And Santa was there. That was pretty cool. I saw him a little bit early on.
A little trip from the North Pole, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Must be a big Bills fan.
It was the weather wasn't too bad. You know, we kept hearing about the wind and how that would impact the game. I don't think it did all that much. I think the wind was gusty at times, but I've been in that stadium with far worse wind, especially even this year against the Eagles was a really windy day. But good job by you, Bills Mafia. You brought it. Bills fans, however you want to term it, whether you like that term or not, Bills fans were strong in their support yesterday, and it was great to have a game in Buffalo in December that had that type of atmosphere. It really was, and it's only going to get better, I think, short-term and long-term. But let's face it, the Bills had a great opportunity to make a statement to the rest of the NFL yesterday. Football fans, watchers across the country, everybody. I mean, this game went to a lot of the country on CBS. A win would have opened a lot of eyes to a team that is clearly on the rise. And suddenly, if they had won the game, I think in the conversation for best team in the AFC. That didn't happen, of course. But that doesn't mean they didn't prove some things, mainly on defense. This game was a heavyweight battle, make no mistake about it. You heard Micah Hyde say it because I asked him about it. I said, was this big boy football out there today? Absolutely it was. I was on the field. That was a physical, physical football game. And the Bills, they stood toe-to-toe with one of the best offenses in the league on the defensive side. For that, fans, you should feel good and very encouraged. Now, that said, they also proved they still don't have an offense good enough, or at least I'll say consistent enough, to compete with the best teams in the NFL on a weekly basis. Now, ultimately, this loss confirmed to most of us what we already knew, and that is what? The Bills' defense can play with anyone. I think even if you had a question about that, this game confirmed that. It also confirmed to us that the offense has the ability to play well. They have the last 3 weeks. But it also needs quite a bit to go right, and it can't afford to make mistakes. They have to play pretty much mistake-free football. Now, I felt most of this past week that the Bills going into this game, the Bills were playing basically with house money in this game. Now, because why? A win? That'd be great, right? I mean, you even had the division at play. And now you look yesterday and say, oh my gosh, if they would have won, they would have made the playoffs. The two teams, the three teams they needed to lose, all lost. The Raiders, the Texans, and the Colts, they all lost. The Bills win, they're in today. We are talking about in the playoffs today if they had won. Not only that, they'd be ready to basically play New England for a division in 2 weeks. That didn't happen. So things didn't break their way because they didn't win. They didn't take care of business. But it was house money because Even though that happened, a loss, which is what happened, certainly does not kill their season, and they're still in a good spot. Well, here we are in that good spot. It's just, I'd say, a little less good, right? You look at the standings in the AFC right now and today as you open them up. The Bills are going to head to Pittsburgh. They're going to play the Steelers Sunday night, primetime, national television. That game is for the fifth seed in the AFC. I don't know if people realize that. If the Steelers win, they're going to jump the Bills. They're going to be tied in the standings because they're one game behind right now, and they'll have the head-to-head. Now, granted, there'll be still two games left, but at that point, we'd be waking up on Monday morning, and the Steelers would be on the five line. If the Bills win the game, they almost secure, I shouldn't say it that way, because there are some teams catching them, they're going to be in the playoffs. But they would almost even have a really excellent shot percentage-wise of keeping that fifth seed. But here's the bottom line. The Bills win next week, they're in the playoffs. It is week 15 in the NFL. There is no more help needed. It is win and in. Win one of the last three games, you're in the playoffs. They need to win next week. They control their own destiny. That is all that matters now. There are questions about yesterday. There are lots of ways that the Ravens attack the Bills that I think that we need to kind of talk about, discuss, and figure out what they're going to do in response, because I think other teams are going to do that. But at the end of the day, like I said, I think it was more house money than anything yesterday. A win would have been great. So my message to you today, Bills fans, is I feel your frustration, and I think you should be frustrated. I don't think you should be discouraged. I think you have a team here that we all kind of knew who they were, and they're confirming that, and that's not a bad thing. But they're also not a finished product. You know, they have set this organization up. They've set this roster up. They've set their financial situation and structure up with the salary cap to continue to build on what they have. And they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win one of their last three games. I hope it's Sunday in Pittsburgh. I think they can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a tough matchup. We'll get into that later. They're going to make the playoffs. And they're going to make a nice jump. And they're going to be a team that I think around the country is starting to be recognized as not only in 2019 as better than maybe people realized, but going forward, a team 2020 and beyond that is going to be right there in the AFC for years to come. That's what I think showed me yesterday. It's not just about, and again, Sean McDermott said it, no moral victories. I agree with that. Even though it's not a moral victory, to me, it's still an encouraging sign of how they went toe-to-toe and were able to play the Baltimore Ravens. Now, they have to get better on offense. If they're going to play teams like the Baltimore Ravens, and once you get into the playoffs, obviously, even next week against the Steelers, they have a very good defense. But the Ravens did some things on them that I think the Bills are going to have to try and figure out because they're going to see a lot more of it. I don't think I've ever seen in football at this level a team play cover zero as much as the Ravens did on the Bills. What does cover zero mean? Zero free safeties. They just basically put everybody down in the box except for the people covering the Bills receivers one-on-one. They said, whoever you have at receiver, we're covering you one-on-one, and everybody else is either blitzing or defending the run. And then they brought the house. They brought pressure. And the Bills had trouble. They had trouble for different reasons. They had trouble because, A, they had trouble blocking it. They had more guys coming than they had blocking it. And even when they had enough guys blocking it, it was tough to know where they were coming from. That's hard to do. They had trouble, B, because receivers couldn't get separation enough times on those one-on-ones. And then, of course, they had trouble because their quarterback missed and could not hit guys when even they were open, especially early on. I expect teams going forward to play the Bills similarly. Cover zero, bring guys up, defend those receivers, make them beat you one-on-one. Blitz the heck out of Josh Allen. Here's the problem with next week. Some encouraging and some discouraging. The discouraging part about next week, when you think about it, is the Steelers lead the league in takeaways. They have over 30 on the year. They're also third in the league in sacks. I believe it's third. I have to go back and look. Might be second. And in sacks per pass attempt. But they don't have the corners that the Ravens have physically and athletically to be able to do exactly what the Ravens did. So I don't know if they will, but I think they'll try. And the Bills have to be ready for it, and they have to figure it out. And defensively, I've said this for a long time, and I'll say it again. I noticed this, and I thought about it when they played the Jaguars in the playoffs a couple years ago, when so many people thought they'd get steamrolled and the Jags would run all over them with Leonard Fournette. You give Sean McDermott a week to prepare a game plan on the defensive side, they're fine. They're gonna play with anyone, and they're going to contain anyone. They did yesterday. They contained, not completely shut down, they contained very well the most dynamic offensive player in this league this year and the best running attack. For a team that had been leaky against the run, to face the best running attack in the league, that was a bad matchup. The Bills did a hell of a job. You give Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier a week, they'll figure it out. But the offense, they have their own figuring out to do, and I think that's where we stand today. Feel frustrated? Don't feel discouraged. 803-0550, 888-552-550. Where do we want to go here to start this? All right, let's go to Dan in Tonawanda. Hi, Dan. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show. Welcome in. Dan, you there, buddy? Oh, I shouldn't have chosen Dan because I think he dropped off on us. Can we want to make sure, Brayton? Are we good on Dan? Is that on him? Okay, just want to make sure I don't cut somebody off here. All right, how about Paul in Kenmore? Paul, are you there?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
So I did not like the last play of the game. I didn't think it seemed like it was John Brown or nothing, and I believe the first down was still in play. So I would like them to spread the field out a little bit and, you know, go for the first down and give Josh Allen other options, because to me it seemed like he was going to John Brown and that's it.
He was. I asked John Brown about it after the game, and he basically said the play was called. It wasn't like an adjustment. It was called to him. I understand where you're coming from. Let me put it this way, though, Paul, and play a little devil's advocate, or at least explain, I think, what the thinking is. They had a fourth and, what was it, 12 maybe at the end? Was that what it was? I mean, they had a long way to go. The Ravens had been blitzing all day. They're certainly going to blitz in that situation. So Josh does not have time to wait for guys to get to the sticks and sit back there. He's going to have kind of a decision made up, and he's going to trust a guy. They went to their best receiver on the most important play. I have no problem with that. It was great coverage. And, you know, if you want to say, well, maybe he should have scanned the field, I'm telling you, I don't think he would have had time.
All right, yeah, I just wanted your opinion on it. That's all.
Yeah, that's all. And look, there's been, I saw a video someone posted on Twitter and tagged me in it. A video of Cole Beasley being open like four yards before the sticks. He could have got the pass. He would have had a first down. I think we're cherry picking here. Look, the ball was pretty much out of his hands anyway. I think that was a play where they had to basically decide, where can we win a one-on-one matchup and how can I get rid of the ball fast? And that's what they did. And Josh Allen got rid of the ball before blitzers could get there, picked his best receiver, threw a good pass, and the Ravens made a nice play. I mean, you give credit where credit's due. I have no problem with the end of the game play. It just didn't work out. What I have a problem with was getting to the fourth down situation they had. Once they had a first down there, I thought there were a couple plays that they could have executed and maybe even called better in that situation. Before that play was more of an issue I had, not that play. Let's get to Pat in Canandaigua. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how you doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
When are the Bills going to suit up Duke Williams? A couple of things. One, they definitely could have used him in that red zone. They had everybody they have is too small. They couldn't throw a jump ball. I mean, that really limited them a lot. Duke made a catch similar to John Brown's route using his body a couple of weeks ago. And lastly, McKenzie and Foster aren't doing anything. What is it?
But they have been doing things. Maybe they didn't yesterday, but they have been.
Not much.
Well, yeah, they have been. I mean, Isaiah McKenzie has been a big part of this offense in the three-game stretch when they go 11 personnel. And he might not be catching all the balls, but he's running jet sweeps. He's taking eyeballs to him because of his use there, where teams have to account for him. He's made some catches along the way. They went a three-game stretch where he was a very big part of their offense, where they were scoring 27 points a game. And then as far as who is it? Well, Foster. Look, I think the debate would be between Foster and Duke right now, and I get it, and I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong, but you know, I think it's six of one, half dozen of another. They do have Robert Foster, who can make plays with the ball in his hands. He also is a special teams player, which Duke Williams really isn't, and we can debate how much important that is. I'll say this, though, Pat. I mean, they have one of the best red zone offenses in the league, and maybe yesterday you could make an argument that they could have used Duke Williams, but overall, They've been good in the red zone, and they haven't missed a guy like Duke Williams, if that makes sense for you.
I guess it makes sort of makes sense. I just think having the variety, McKenzie and Foster, similar kind of.
Yeah, I hear that, and I don't think you're wrong on that. I think there's an argument to be made. There's really two spots I think you think for three guys, and some people say maybe Andre Roberts shouldn't be there, but let me explain why I think they do that. This is not a team that scores a lot of points, obviously, and I think the reason they have Andre Roberts and Isaiah McKenzie both active. Those guys do have the ability to kind of score anywhere from on the field. And if Andre Roberts can take one back to the house or at least get them up to the 40-yard line, that helps this offense. And this offense needs as much help as it can get. And if Isaiah McKenzie can get a jet sweep and get you 30 yards, that's going to help an offense that normally struggles. So I think that would be the thinking behind it. If this was, you know, I don't know, the Rams offense, you know, when they're rolling, I don't think you have to do that because you have other weapons at your disposal. But this team needs as many playmakers as it can get and as much help as it can get, and I think that's the thinking behind that.
Just one last question.
Yeah.
Is Duke Williams, when he came out, when he did start, they talked about his work ethic and everything. Have you been able to notice, has that slacked off or anything? Or
No. Not slacking off. No, he's just, again, it's just a decision on the roster on who. They can't dress everybody. They have seven guys they have to leave inactive. And it's simply what they think is best for that game. I think he works hard at practice from what I see, but let's remember, we only see stretching and then positional warm-ups, and then they aren't out, and then the media has to leave. But here's what I'll tell you, Pat. If that was the case, he wouldn't be on the roster.
There you go. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I hope I helped there. And I'm just trying to give insight into what they think. I don't think it's a bad question. I understand it. But I don't think Duke Williams is suddenly going to get this team from scoring 17 points to, you know, 26. Can he help you in some areas? Yes. And then there may be some areas where you say, well, we wish you had a guy that we can get the ball in his hands and he can go 30 yards, which he isn't. So it's a tough call there. Doug in Cheektowaga. Hi, Doug. You're on WGR.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for taking the call, man.
You're welcome.
Hey, also, shout out to the two guys that are there and the donation to the charity.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. They're right here and they say thank you as well.
Awesome. Kind of a generalization question, but I hope it makes sense to you. This is one of the first losses in a long time where I've actually come out optimistic. I feel like Josh Allen's not a make the same mistake twice kind of guy. He really seems like he's learning from everything that's getting thrown at him. And I'm just wondering if you're seeing the same thing or what your opinion is on that.
Well, yeah, I think that there's some evidence for that, right? I mean, you go back to the New England game and how that was just, it was just an awful day for him. And he had to learn about the situations that he was in and what he can and can't do, and he's talked a lot about that. I mean, since that New England game, he's thrown, what, two interceptions? I mean, the rest of the, maybe three, and he's been really good at that. And you hope that this is a situation like that as well where, you know, he learns that if teams are going to bring the house on you, you know, I liked his post-game comment. His post-game comment was, you know, that he should have taken what they were giving him a little earlier in the game, but he tried to go for a little bit too much. And I hope that he learns from that. And I think he's been known to be coachable and learning, so let's hope that's the case.
That's what I mean. The kid seems like he figures out what his mistakes are, admits them, and then works really hard to improve them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he's coachable. Everybody I talk to about him down there always says the same thing. He's very coachable. And, you know, he's a guy that I think has learned from his mistakes. Let me get his game-by-game here. So Josh Allen this year, after the New England game, when he basically, that was just an awful game for him. He threw three interceptions, and he said, I understand now. I can't put my team in those situations. Since that game, he threw one interception the following week against Tennessee. All right? And then since that game, he's had one interception in 8 games. 1 in 8 games. That is learning from your mistakes, I think. That's helping to put his team in a better situation. But I think we all see that he's still struggling with the deep ball. He struggled yesterday identifying some things. And you hope that he can still, you know, build on and learn from all those situations. Hey, before we take a timeout, let me tell you about my friends at Excelsior Orthopedics Express, because I said it yesterday, it's big boy football, right? Yeah, maybe you play football. Maybe you play big boy football. You get hurt a little bit. Maybe you play soccer, hockey. Maybe you don't do anything except slip on ice and then you get hurt. Well, you got to go to Excelsior Orthopedics Express, whether that's a sprain, a strain, or a break, because it's never been easier, quicker, or less expensive to get the care you need. Excelsior Orthopedics Express has changed the way that you receive care for injuries to muscles, bones, and joints. You can skip the ER, General Urgent Care Center, and see a specialist right away. One stop, one copay, you walk out with everything you need. That's imaging, casting, splints, they have it all. They're open weekdays and evenings, also Saturdays. Excelsior Orthopedics Express is on Sheridan Drive in Amherst, on Niagara Falls Boulevard near the airport, and their newest location is serving the South Towns right off Mile Strip near the 219 in Orchard Park. Call 250-9999 to minimize your wait, but get the care you need at Excelsior Orthopedics Express. We got a lot more coming your way. An hour and a half still left in the program. Good start to the show. Let's take some more phone calls on the Extra Point Show after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, every Sunday before the Bills game, I do a Facebook Live. I preview the game. It's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. If you've been injured at work, make sure you don't do anything alone, all right? Because your employer and their insurance company have their attorneys working for them from the day you get hurt. That's why you need the hardworking team at Losi and Ganji, working hard for you and your family. They work so hard, their clients receive the maximum settlement, and they make sure that even the small details are handled properly, from making sure you're receiving your weekly benefits and your medical treatments to making sure you get your settlement. Last year, Losi and Ganji obtained over $22 million for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We know that past results don't guarantee future outcomes, but you deserve a hardworking team working for you and your best interest. For workers' comp and personal injury, call Losi and Ganji, 854-1446. Go online, losi-ganji.com. They are working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Sal Capaccio here, Extra Point Show. Good start to the show. Let's keep it rolling. We got some good phone calls. Again, frustrated? Yes, absolutely, Bills fans. I think you should be. Discouraged? Not at all. And I'm talking short-term and long-term when I say don't be discouraged. This team is set up. They're set up to build on what they have, to continue to go forward, and to add. It's not like this window is closing. This window is opening for this organization. I think you should feel very good about where they are. But as far as yesterday, obviously frustrated that they had opportunities. The offense did not step up when it had opportunities to do on their side of the ball and chances. And, you know, they're just right there. They're close. They're not there yet. They're not as good as the Ravens. They were beaten by a better team overall as a better team yesterday. But that doesn't mean they can't beat the Ravens. That doesn't mean they can't beat the Patriots. They can play with any team because they have a defense to play with any team. And Bills players in the locker room yesterday were very much talking like we're going to see them again. Very much. Everybody was I got the sense that was a message maybe coming from the head coach or something. Like, hey, keep at it. We'll see them again if you want them. But they got to win next week at Pittsburgh. Big game. The Steelers are money on prime time at home. I went back and looked. They're 28-9, I believe it is, since Heinz Field opened 2001. Think about that, though. They played 37 primetime games at home since 2001. That's incredible. The Bills have had one. Well, actually, Monday or Sunday night, I guess. They had a couple Thursday night games, but you get the point. Crazy. And their defense is playing really, really good football. They're getting to the quarterback, T.J. Watt, J.J. Watt's brother. He leads that. Devin Bush, very good player. They have their hands full. It's not going to be a picnic next week. Mike Tomlin is going to he's going to dial some things up. He's a defensive guy. They're also playing against Duck Hodges, and I think he'll have a tough time against the Bills' defense. So, another low-scoring game. Should be fun. Bills win. They're in the playoffs, and that's all that matters right now. Mark in Buffalo. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, good morning, sir. frustrated, like you said, because really the only game that they couldn't win this year was Philadelphia.
Yep.
But I think the discouraging point was, I guess, the offensive line performance. I mean, the defense, I mean, the scheme they had against Lamar Jackson was great. He made a few plays and got the three short passing scores, one blown coverage. I mean, whatever McDermott did and Leslie Frazier was really great. The frustrating part was that the offensive line just seemed overwhelmed, and they still had a chance. I think Josh Allen can learn from this, and I think we've got a guy in Sean McDermott like they have in Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin. We can look at him to just be solid for 10 or 12 years. He really answered all my questions. Everyone brings up Duke Williams.
Yeah.
He's not on the roster because they know who they want to put out there. Come on. And you know what? The future is so bright for this team. I mean, they may not win a Super Bowl because it's hard to do, but we're definitely going to be in the position to be a team for like 4 or 5 years where we're going to be looked upon. Look at the game yesterday. We just got beat by a better team. I mean, so, hey, the future is bright, and I know I rambled on, but, hey.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Thank you. And, you know, you look at this with the same time where what the Patriots are doing, and they're struggling, and you know, I think it's the right time now to start talking about this and seeing where the Bills are on this trajectory. And they're going to see them in 2 weeks. Got to take care of business in Pittsburgh first, and, you know, we'll see. Now, the Patriots have the Bengals next week, so it doesn't look like they're going to lose that game. But the way their offense is struggling, I mean, I think that, you know, any team can kind of come up and bite them a little bit. So that would be amazing if that happened. I don't predict it. But I think going forward in the future, I think the Bills are definitely going to be in the conversation as a team that can contend for the AFC East. Let's go to Joe in Williamsville. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, bud. Thanks.
Couple things I got. First of all, I'm really frustrated with Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
He's got balls thrown. He's got it right in his hands, and he drops them. And then he goes ahead and he makes a one-arm spectacular catch. So I'm a little frustrated with his inconsistency. The other thing is the offensive line. They gave up 6 sacks, and at least one, maybe two, were Allen's fault, where he held on to the ball for so friggin' long.
Well, I think part of that is, remember what I said earlier, they played a lot of cover zero. They have man-to-man corners who are very physical and very good, and I don't think the Bills have quite the wide receivers to get enough separation, and you're not wrong. Josh probably should have thrown the ball quicker sometimes, but I do think part of that is they don't have the receivers that can really separate around the field as well as maybe, you know, you'd want.
But he's got to get rid of
the ball. Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
And the other thing, the last thing is, I think on that last play, the offensive play, if he had, instead of throwing a line drive pass, I think he should have arched it, you know, where it was over Brown's head, where he had to run deep into the end zone. It was over the
maybe, but that's a slant. That's not a post, and it's tough. Look, I just want to give a lot of credit to the DB on that play, Humphrey, I think it was, right, in the last play. I just want to give him a lot of credit. Let's go back to your original point, though. Dawson Knox, you have every right to be frustrated about his drops. He has to be better. He has to be more consistent. And, you know, but you know why it is, I think. And I think, Joe, I think the reason why is, let's remember, this kid went to college as a quarterback. He was converted to tight end. He never had the production. He never did the reps of catching balls. He's just kind of doing that now for the first time in a mass situation in the NFL where he's going every day and learning this. And I'm not excusing it, but he is a little behind the curve as far as his development at the position. So, but you're right. He has to be better, and he has cost them big time. But I think he'll get better as we go, and you can't take him off the field because of all the other things he does well for you, including run after the catch.
Well, I couldn't believe that one-arm catch he made.
I know. And you know what that is? Because he's such a good athlete. I mean, he is. He's a converted quarterback. He's great running after the catch. But, yeah, he has to make the routine catch better. And I just think that's going to come with time. He does not have nearly the experience of doing this as most people who come into this league.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your time, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. No, I appreciate that. And, look, someone's going to call me or tweet me now and go, what about Tony Gonzalez? He was a basketball player. What about Antonio Gates? Yes, you're right. Those guys were great. I don't know what to tell you. He has to be better, Dawson Knox. But that is part of the reason. There's no doubt about it. Carl and Clarence. Hey, Carl, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Sal. I just want to preface my comment with one thought. Pittsburgh will be 28-10 next week because Devlin Hodges is no Lamar Jackson. And I hate to be a skunk at the party, but doesn't everybody have the book on us now? if you want to beat the Bills, all you have to do is blitz the quarterback.
Well, that's not true. Other teams have blitzed as well. The difference is most teams don't have the corners that the Ravens have to be able to do it.
Yesterday, Sal. Not like yesterday. They just blitzed the hell out of them.
Right. Again, because why? I just explained it to you, Carl. Because other teams, most teams don't have the cornerbacks that the Ravens have to be able to do that. Now, granted, the Bills struggled with it. I agree with you. But if other teams want to do that, they better have the same types of corners to cover every receiver all the time with no help over the top. And the Ravens can because of Marcus Peters and because of Marlon Humphrey. And they have really good players. You're right. Teams are going to try it. I just don't think teams are going to be as successful as the Ravens, but there will certainly try it. I don't think it's a book that's going to be a foolproof way to beat the Bills all the time.
I hope you're right.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, I think that the Steelers are going to try it. Other teams are going to try it. No doubt about it. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 here on WGR. Greg in Rochester. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Biggest flaw in the game plan I saw was with them blitzing that much, I would have liked to see them do shorter routes with Beasley and just start picking apart. When people blitz Tom Brady, he's finding Edelman for 5 yard outs and he's doing it over and over. And eventually that might have backed the blitz off a little bit. I think they missed it. I saw a lot of deep routes with Beasley going 20 yards downfield, and that's not his game. His game is those quick outs, find some space, you know, keep the chains moving, that kind of thing. So I think, next time they play, I would put Beasley in the slot and just let him find those little openings and just dink and dunk with him. And
I liked when they started splitting Singletary out a little bit. It created a couple mismatches, and then obviously Devin dropped one. If Devin catches that ball, he might be to the house. I mean, that could have been a 60-yard touchdown or whatever it was from where they were. I liked the fact they started doing that. It seemed like, you know, there was one drive where he really did get the ball out quicker. So I agree. I think that is something you learn from. It's not when we talk a lot, Greg, about Josh Allen learning. I think that Brian Daboll probably learned from this game as well, and what they need to do and how they need to speed up the process a little bit, if you will, you know, at the snap of the ball and getting rid of things and enforcing that to Josh in a situation like that.
Definitely. A couple more things. Cody Ford had a rough game. I saw him whiff on a bunch of stuff that kind of blew things up. If they don't have the drops, they probably win the game. I mean, those four drops that I saw were huge plays and were difference makers. One more thing, Tom Brady is done. That team is winning with defense and trick plays. He's not the same guy, not beating the blitz. He's not as accurate as he was. It's the Bills division from here on out. Have a good one, Sal.
Thank you. Cody Ford has he struggled at Dallas, too, I thought. The Bills got away with it. They did some nice things to help him, and he also played, you know, he also came up okay at times. But they need Ty Insecki back. I think they're a better football team with Ty Insecki at right tackle. They're developing a tackle in Cody Ford, who also can play guard. I wouldn't be surprised to see him eventually just be a guard as his career goes on. That is a player, I think, Ty Insecki, that could really help them going forward. If he's available for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that will help them a lot. As far as Brady, I threw dirt on Tom Brady once, and I got burned for it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think you're right probably, but I don't want to say it on the air, right? I don't know. Oh, my gosh. How do you say that about Brady? It might be right, though. Their offense is not that good. It is not that good. And the Bills shut them down when they played here defensively. So it's going to be interesting. Who do we have on line two? I don't have a name, Brayton. Okay, Tony. Tony Rochester, what's up?
Hey, Sal. Love the show. Love the roundtable on Sundays.
Thank you.
So I was reading your arrow up, arrow down column and about the punting. Disappointing day for our punting team. So you had the two solid punts that went in the end zone, but then you also had the 35, 41, 33, and 29-yard punt.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about the punting game, you want the punting game to be – you want to flip the field, and you want to use your punter as a weapon for that. My concern and my question to you is, you know, is Corey not a weapon anymore? And – do we start seeing things like what Bill Belichick did in the game yesterday, where he didn't even have a return guy? They were they took everybody and they were going after the punter.
You know what's funny is Tony, is the Ravens didn't return anything yesterday. I think they had one return for, like, they caught the ball. They let every punt hit the ground. They let every kickoff go into the end zone. It was really weird. If it becomes to a point where they don't have that confidence in Corey Bohorquez, then I would just expect a change to be made. I think he's had a decent year. I think he's been pretty good. People have to remember, it's not in the net yards or gross. It's, you know, inside the 20, what he's being asked to do. I think he's had a good year, but yesterday wasn't a good day for him. He punted 7 times in a game that's going to be low scoring and field position. He didn't flip the field enough. He did twice. That 67-yarder was amazing. He had another 50-whatever yarder. Those 2 times flipped the field. But other than that, Baltimore's drive starts, how they got the ball after punts, they started at their own 32, their own 49, their own 33, the Bills 45. So, yeah, they had somewhere a lot to be desired. I wonder, you know, Tony, they put a claim in on Chase McLaughlin, the kicker, last week because of Steven Hauschka's struggles. And I do wonder if they go down that road, if they feel that they're not getting enough from him. But I think Bohorquez has bought himself a little credibility here with the way he's punted most of the year, and especially in some tough weather at home in those games.
I just would see people coming after our punts more often, especially the way our
maybe
team is playing. It's a good way to come after, you know, to get a quick,
I hear you,
flip the field, and it's just a little concern.
No, I hear you, and that might be something other teams try. Like, and by the way, did you see New England yesterday? They blocked another one. They have 4 on the year.
I think they said there's 7 total in the whole NFL, and they've got 4 of them. So
that's amazing.
Sale.
All right, bud. Thanks. Yeah, I'm interested to see how that goes and what they want to do there. I'm not here. I think Bohorquez did not punt well yesterday. He had a couple good punts. For the majority of the punts, they weren't. But I think he's kind of bought himself a little, like I said, what do you want? Not credibility. Whatever I want to call it there. But I think he's bought himself a little time. Now, they may just decide to kind of see. Now, you have to remember, too, Hauschka, when he went from holder to holder, didn't work out so well. Bohorquez is the holder. So if you switch there, are you also impacting Steven Hauschka? There's a lot to be considered here on a lot of this stuff. All right, it is. We're getting to Christmas time. And I've been telling you about Firth Jewelers for a long time here on WGR and on the Extra Point Show. And I know my wife is right now not listening because she's at work, so I can tell you, that she may be singing. She may be singing a song. Here it goes. I'm going to sing right now for you. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a diamond underneath the Christmas tree. Was that okay, guys? I got an audience here. Okay. All right. It probably wasn't that good, but that's okay. She's not listening right now, and that's okay for me to kind of do it on the air and tell you because diamonds, yeah, under my Christmas tree, should be under yours as well. Very affordable, and at Firth Jewelers, they have diamond engagement rings, diamond pendants, earrings, and a lot more, all priced for the holidays. They even have a special silver bells collection featuring pieces with sterling silver and diamonds, and they're all at Firth-friendly savings. Their exclusive Firth Forever guarantee gets you full credit. That's the full price you paid toward even finer jewelry, and that's forever. So this holiday season, for all the moments of your life, go forth to Firth. They're just north of the Falls Fashion Outlets on Military Road. You go up to the Falls Fashion Outlets, right across the street as you head back towards, if you head north a little bit, they're right there. Right across the street. Spend the day of Christmas, and spend the Firth, I should say, day of Christmas with Firth Jewelers. And just like me, you'll be a Firth fan too. More calls on your way on the way on WGR.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, it's the holiday season. I know you're cooking, and there is still another home game left as well. Tailgating season is not over yet. But in the holiday season, here's some cooking tips to have you start the party, all right? This is from my friends at Country Sweet. Pick up a pork tenderloin, put a little oil on it, pop it into the crock pot, and pour a bottle of barbecue Country Sweet on top. Now, in a couple hours, you're going to have yourself the perfect pulled pork sliders. Then just bake up some homemade mac and cheese and add a dash of Country Sweet mild and hot as well as a garnish. Now you got yourself a down-home holiday meal that anyone's going to love, and you can enjoy the party instead of cooking all day. Also, you're going to a party, you're not cooking, bring some Country Sweet sauce. Mild, hot barbecue, Everybody's going to love you for it. It's available at your local grocery store. Just look for the red label. You can pick up a bottle, or how about trying three of them, like I just said, of Country Sweet for the holidays. Country Sweet, it's all about the sauce. Oh, yeah. I have plenty of Country Sweet at my house for the holidays. It's cool. Every time someone tries it, they're like, this is good stuff. I'm like, yes, I keep telling you. I get people tweeting me all the time. I just tried Country Sweet for the first time. It's amazing. Yes, it is. So there you go. And I don't really, I'm not a guy that cooks very often. But, you know, when I do, I'll like put something a little bit in it. Help out my wife. Like, hey, some Country Sweet adds to it for sure. No doubt about that. It does work. And you'll be glad you did. 803-0550. Gary and Clarence. What's up, Gary?
Hi, Phil. I just want to say I love your work, and I've learned a lot over the years.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm here to be a therapist, as we say sometimes, but I'm also here to educate when I can.
I appreciate that. Anyway, my question is, have you ever seen them practice a long ball, you know, in practice? I mean, can he do it? Or
well, we only watch stretching and then individual warm-ups. And in individual warm-ups, yes, they do throw the long ball. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not again. Now the part of practice that I can't watch is when they're going against the defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't watch that. We're not allowed to in the media. We have to leave before they do all that because they're game planning. They don't want to see the media. The media, you know, they don't want us to see that. So, yes, I mean, he connects on those. I don't know how much. Now, I'll be honest, for weeks and weeks, we've asked Josh Allen and Brian Daboll and other people about it, and they've said to us many times, yeah, we're working on it. We do it in practice a lot. We rep it a lot.
Okay, yeah. I'm just to know that he's capable of doing it. You know, maybe he'll get there in the game.
Right.
That, you know, I think he's still learning, but, wow, that's just killing us. I think that's one single thing that I see that's the problem.
Yeah, yesterday it did for sure early on in the game. Thanks for the phone call, Gary. But it was something that could have changed the game for sure. Matt in Lockport. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Sal. Just want to come on and talk about why is TJ Yeldon inactive every week?
Well, who would you make inactive for him?
Maybe Shenoris Perry, Tyler Croft, and Lee Smith, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, Perry is a core special teams guy. You're not going to replace Yeldon on special teams with him. I would guess the reason you would make Yeldon active if you want is because you want him on offense, obviously, right? You're not talking about special teams. And then I think the discussion has to become, when does he play and in what situations? And right now, Frank Gore is not playing a ton. If you want to give TJ Yeldon those snaps, I think at this point I'm probably okay with that, but I don't want to do it at the expense of Devin Singletary either.
No, absolutely not. I know that Yeldon has a lot of experience in Jacksonville. He catches a lot of balls.
Yeah, I think yesterday might have been a game. He could have helped. I think so too. But you know, they trust Frank Gore a lot, and you don't know if you're gonna have a lead late, you want to give the ball to Frank. He's very capable and trustworthy in those situations. They didn't yesterday. I'm okay with it. I'd like to see TJ Yeldon on the field more. I think that it's tough though, Matt, because you have to decide who he's gonna be in for and who you're taking off the field for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So one other quick question.
Yeah.
Shaq Lawson every week. I mean, this guy his name is always getting called. I mean, in your opinion, are they going to look to pay him, or is he just going
to
be?
I think it's going to be tough, to be honest with you, Matt. I think it's going to be tough to pay him. He's going to probably make a real, real nice contract on the open market. And I don't know if the Bills want to be in the market for paying what's essentially a backup defensive end. I know he's played like a starter. The money that he might get from another team. I'll also tell you this. This is a very good free agent class for defensive ends. They may be able to find somebody who's just as or even more production, you know, for a similar type of rate or less if they can. There might be options out there, and it's going to be tough to pay Shaq.
Right. Last thing, so I got to meet you at the Denver game. It was a pleasure to meet you. I love your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try to be nice to everybody out there. I don't want anybody to call and go, I met you at a game, and you were a real jerk. Can't have that happen. All right, we'll take a timeout. We got a full hour left of the show here today. I got an audience in today. It's Nick and Adam, and they are here on behalf of Bidding to help out Northland Workforce Training Center. And they said, yeah, I want to spend a couple hours with Sal. So they're in the studio today, and I appreciate them coming in. And I think they're enjoying it because I'm enjoying it, because you have good calls. And even though it's a loss for the Bills, it's frustrating, but I don't think it's discouraging after what we saw yesterday for a lot of reasons. But we got a lot of things we can talk about, including looking ahead to the Pittsburgh Steelers next week. We still have sit up, stand down, hey buddy, next hour on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.